everyone, edition of Pro Wrestling Ponderings here on the Pro Wrestling Ponderings Podcasting Network. My name is Jerome Cusan, and we are going to be discussing Evolve from tonight, Evolve 66, as Cody Rhodes made his debut on the independent scene here tonight. And we will also be discussing Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor 14 pay-per-view, as a brand new Ring of Honor world champion was crowned in Adam Cole. Rich, who does our Ring of Honor recaps, both the television as well as the pay-per-views, also the house shows, is here right now as he just got done watching Death Before Dishonor. He is also one of the co-hosts of the Podcast of Honor now. Rich, how's it going?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me on the show tonight, Jerome. There's just so much from tonight's show. You know, I feel after Best in the World, they really stepped up their game tonight, and Ring of Honor put on an excellent show.
So, yes, let's not bury the lead here. So I think we really should just start talking about probably arguably the two most important stories of the entire evening. Of course, that would be Adam Cole winning the Ring of Honor title over Jay Lethal. Obviously, that is the big story. So, Rich, why don't you talk about this particular match? What happened with Adam Cole and Jay Lethal? How did Cole win the title? And I understand there was also a post-match angle as well. So just talk about everything surrounding Adam Cole.
Sure. You know, so before they've been doing a great job with their video packages. And before the match started, they showed the video package again. Even at the beginning of the show, they had Nigel doing a very passionate, impassioned voiceover with footage from what the Bullet Club's been doing in the background. So, like, leading into it, this really had a big, like, fight feel. The crowd really was, I want to say, almost like 65% behind Cole. There were actually points where Cole seemed to be so over that when Lethal was taking control, people were just booing. I mean, you could hear very loud boos, which is just incredible. Cole, his everything he did tonight, they started off the match, you know, kind of like slow, one-upping each other a bit. And then just over the course of the match, both of them really turned it on. Lethal went with, he hit 5 suicide dives in a row before attempting the 6th and going straight into the guardrail. Pulling out tables and going for Hail to the King from the top rope to the outside. You had Cole hitting the Destroyer, almost hitting the Destroyer twice. He hit the last shot like 4 times during the match. And then his faces. There was a point where I thought Lethal would win solely based on Cole's reaction. I was like, oh, he's too frustrated to win. He's going to lose the match. And then he won. I jaw-dropping. He hit a last shot, a Shining Wizard, and then another last shot for good measure to finally get the last 3 count. And I just kind of stood there in shock for a second. And that's all I had. Because 40 seconds after he gets handed the belt, he's being showered in streamers, and Kyle O'Reilly pops up right behind him. Turns him around, kicks him in the gut, catches him with a brainbuster, and stands over him with the belt. And there you go. We have final battle. This is excellent. This is the best thing they've done all year long.
So, obviously, there is a new Ring of Honor champion in Adam Cole, and obviously this has been a pretty tremendous week for that particular group, with Kenny Omega winning the G1 and now Cole winning the title. And we may even have a final battle main event.
I mean, it has to be. And this is what the company's been missing for so long, I felt. And maybe now I can look back at Best in the World with Cole coming out and, you know, stopping the Cabana Lethal match, and I'm okay with it now. They obviously had a plan going forward, and it was laid out months in advance, and I have to applaud them for that. I really feel like there were a lot of bad thoughts, reactions coming out of Best in the World. People were not happy with that result. I was one of them. I know that we were all talking about it at PWP and how we were kind of upset with what was going on, and then they pulled this off, and now everything makes sense.
I think that one of the more interesting notes that comes out of this a potential matchup of Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly is the fact that presumably these are two men who will have their contracts are going to be expiring around this same time period. So we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
Whether Adam Cole is going to be the Ring of Honor champion, whether he's going to be going to NXT, and the same for Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, if I were to make a prediction of sorts, I mean, I am a firm believer that Adam Cole is going to be going to NXT at some point next year. He really doesn't have a whole lot to accomplish in Ring of Honor, and obviously not the independents at this point. I see that there is a scenario where I think Kyle O'Reilly does stay and hang around and do New Japan as well as Ring of Honor. I think it makes a lot more sense for him to stay, but I don't think this is going to be a very long title reign. I think Adam Cole is going to do this, is going to lose the title in December, and I think he's done. I think he's going to be in NXT within the next couple of months.
Wow, if that is the case, that would be terrible for Ring of Honor right now. Their money match has to be Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole going into Final Battle. And if either of those guys is not there afterwards, it's going to really weaken the company's roster. You cannot have either of these men be champion if you do not sign them before the end of the year. They can't go into Final Battle with these two if they're not both signed. You can even O'Reilly wins. That's not the end of this. You know, this feud still has legs to carry them into next year. You know, we could see another match between these guys at SuperCard of Honor if they're both signed.
For sure. I mean, like I said, there's so much that's up in the air right now. You don't know what is going to be happening, but based on what has been happening recently with Ring of Honor and them losing so many talents, obviously they, you know, you look at the last few months, they've lost Moose, Cedric Alexander, as well as Roderick Strong. It's been a pretty brutal stretch, and I don't know what the potential is for some of these guys to hang around, and what the incentive is with this Cruiserweight Classic that's been going on and could potentially become an annual thing with NXT, with everything going on there. So, you know, you just don't know at this point. Obviously, there's a lot that's up in the air. And like always with Ring of Honor, so much of what's going on backstage is a little bit more interesting than what's going on camera.
Well, you know, that's what I've heard, you know, here when I'm talking to Ari and Chris. And Chris, over on the Podcast of Honor, you know, there's a lot of unhappiness backstage with the way things are being booked, and people are leaving. And you know, Roddy, I think, is a good example of that. I don't think this came about unexpectedly because he just felt like he needed to move on. I felt that he wasn't being used the right way, expressed that, and things were not changed, and he up and left. And then you had the same thing, you know, Cedric Alexander, you know, he just basically up and left. And look at him, both guys are going to come out looking better because of it, but that's worrisome for the company. At this point, the Cruiserweight Classic, I mean, it's only annual, but NXT is, even though it's part of WWE, is going to overtake Ring of Honor as the go-to indie that's more accessible.
For sure. I mean, we'll see what happens. Let's just we'll take a step back here, and you know, obviously December is a long way away.
Yes.
And given everything that's gone on in 2016 in the world of pro wrestling, a lot can happen in the next 4 months or so. But what I do want to discuss is I want to discuss Cody Rhodes, who made his independent wrestling debut tonight as he took on Zack Sabre Jr. in the main event of Evolve 66. And Cody Rhodes had teased that he was going to be breaking out something new, and he is going to be incorporating a new leg submission into his arsenal called the American Nightmare.
Nice.
Cody Rhodes had specific boots for the match, one with an American flag, one with a British flag, since he was taking on Zack Sabre Jr. Huh. He also had a new theme song as well. So, obviously, Cody Rhodes is fully integrating himself into the world of independent wrestling, but with his appearances and involved this weekend, and he is basically booked up for the rest of the year. He will be wrestling in Northeast Wrestling against Kurt Angle. He will be in the 2016 Battle of Los Angeles. He also has a couple of international dates as well. So Cody Rhodes is not just going to be doing the WrestlePro / New York State area wrestling scene, although he will be making an appearance for WrestlePro.
Yeah.
But he is, he's getting himself out there, and he's certainly putting himself out there. And it'll be interesting to see what he has to offer. Based on what I saw tonight, if you were expecting a brand new Cody Rhodes that was going to light the world on fire, it didn't happen yet. it was pretty much every Cody Rhodes match I've ever seen, and that's not to say it was bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it certainly wasn't. It was technically all right, but it did not blow the doors off. And for a company like Evolve, which has had amazing shows this year, to have Cody Rhodes out there in the main event, it really kind of stuck out that this guy is not necessarily at the level of some of these guys who have main evented Evolve shows, like your Johnny Garganos and even your Drew Galloways. So the learning curve for Cody Rhodes is going to be very quick, and he is a guy that is really going to have to get on the ball very quickly because I would say Evolve is for sure the independent promotion of the year in this country, and has been arguably one of the best booked and best wrestled companies of this year. So Cody Rhodes has a lot of work to do. So Rich, what was your reaction when you saw that Cody Rhodes was going to, when he came out with his list, and when you saw he was going to be making all these dates, and he will be at Ring of Honor's final battle, so there is a Ring of Honor connection. So what are your thoughts on Cody Rhodes, and are you excited to see what he has to offer?
I actually am excited to see what he has to offer. I think a lot of times when some of these guys get released and they show up on the indies, I get to see them a little bit in New York. And yeah, I guess I have the same reaction sometimes that you had with Cody. It's okay, so wow, they weren't that as good as I thought they were going to be in person. But I don't know, I think like it's weird. I think the work rate in Evolve is so high that Rhodes could go to Ring of Honor and fit in much better there and not look as overmatched as he does in Evolve. Or maybe he's just going to like practice and, you know, work his way up. I mean, he worked a very different style of match in WWE. And if you think about it, the guys who leave Evolve and leave Ring of Honor, they go to NXT first. And they have to like learn the WWE style. And I think that in many ways, Cody's going to have to learn this different style that he's not in the WWE anymore.
Right. And just for the record, Cody Rhodes has never had an independent wrestling match in the United States. So that is worth noting. And, you know, for so many of these guys, they've been on the indies, they go to WWE, and then they go back. In Cody Rhodes' case, every single match that he has ever had has been under some WWE umbrella, whether it's FCW, whether it's one of their other developmentals, or, of course, the WWE banner.
That's quite a problem to have. It seems like he's really like slumming it now, but it's funny that he's actually being, you know, kind of being exposed a little bit for not being, you know, that WWE is not the be-all, end-all, which I think we've all started to see, but having somebody like Cody come out who had all this potential and everybody was so sad to see leave and have him show up on a show and not and kind of underwhelm against somebody who, you know, was just on WWE TV a couple weeks ago in Zack Sabre Jr. and wowed people. It must be humbling for him, but I think that with every show it's going
to
be...
I don't necessarily want to say that he underwhelmed. I think he pretty much did exactly what I expected.
Okay.
So, I don't want to use the term underwhelm.
Fair.
Because he was fine. I mean, the match was perfectly acceptable. Like, you could watch the match and it wasn't a disaster or anything. It just wasn't up to snuff with so much of what Evolve has done this year, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. No, I mean, I was at the... I was at the show where actually Dustin shows up for the first time. So, yeah, that was one of those nights where I felt like every single match, you know, there was purposeful storytelling going on, or the match just was off the charts. You know, you had Riddle and Roderick going at each other and just showing how good they are at small things. I mean, Roderick was going to suplex Riddle from the top rope, and he was in a corner where there was a speaker that was kind of in the way, and the fans yelled up, and he glanced and was able to, like, still hoist Riddle up in the air while leaning over to the side to avoid this. And it was his first time wrestling at the venue. So yeah, you see things like that, and I think that Evolve has set the bar high. And, you know, I didn't get to watch the match yet, but I'm going to go in, and I'm a big fan of Rhodes, but I'm going to kind of look out for this and see how he matches up with Sabre. It'll be interesting to see.
Yes, it was like I said, it was a very technically based match, and the finish came a little bit out of nowhere, but I'll be interested to hear what your takes are when you see the match. Some of the other things that occurred at Evolve 66, the other big news was that Timothy Thatcher retained his Evolve title over Matt Riddle. It was easily the best match of the night. This was excellent. This was one of the best Timothy Thatcher matches that has taken place this year, and Matt Riddle continues to impress and is having one of the best rookie campaigns that you will ever see in pro wrestling. And based on what I've seen of him live at the SCI, based on what he's done in Evolve, he should be a unanimous selection for Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year. I don't think there's really an argument to be made for anyone else. Matt Riddle has just grown into this role and is a superstar, and I am so excited to see what else he's going to be doing on the independent scene. We know that he will be wrestling Jeff Cobb at AAW on September the 16th, so that will be another notable match for Matt Riddle. So, Rich, what you have obviously had a chance to see Matt Riddle live even a little bit more than I have. What have your thoughts been on his run on the independent scene this year?
Oh, he's been lights out. I was a little disappointed because recently I went to the Tier 1 show and Riddle was supposed to be there, but I actually think that because of the SCI, he didn't come. I think there was some sort of conflict there. But I got to see him a couple times at Evolve. He's great at what he does. I remember the first show I saw him at, I actually wasn't very familiar with him. My friend was more familiar with Evolve than I was. And when we get to the show, he comes out and he's carrying the title and he's rubbing it in his crotch. He's got no shoes on. And I was like, this guy's a jerk. I don't like him. He's annoying. And, you know, I really got into the match because of his character. And then as I went home and I started watching other things, I couldn't help but, you know, actually be a fan of him. But he just does such great work in the ring. And it's not just his work rate. I buy his character. You know, and it's not very complex, but I believe he's this former UFC guy who used, you know, got caught smoking pot, and now he's tearing it up in wrestling. And the way he portrays himself, it makes me feel like he's been a wrestler for years.
For sure. Other events that took place at Evolve, there were two Cruiserweight Classic Showcase matches, Cedric Alexander and TJ Perkins. They opened the show, and I felt like the match was kind of a disappointment. Again, it was good, but it wasn't great, and I think that pretty much sums up my feelings on Evolve 66 as a whole. I thought this was the quote-unquote worst Evolve show of the year, and it was still, there were still some very good elements to it, but I definitely felt like there were some matches that did not deliver, and Cedric versus TJP was one of them. It just felt very flat. There was a tag team match as Jigsaw picked up a huge upset victory over Catchpoint. His tag team partner was Peter Casa, and they defeated Tracy Williams and Fred Yehi. And after the match, Yehi and Williams slapped each other.
Really?
Yes. They didn't turn on each other. They just slapped each other. And Yehi forearmed Jigsaw out of the ring. It was pretty strange.
They just slapped each other, and they were fine, though.
Apparently, they're like ready to snap because of all the losing that they've been doing lately. So, So we'll have to see where that goes.
Yeah, especially with tomorrow night, they have a chance to win the tag titles if they pin anybody in that 6-man tag.
Yes, I have no idea where this is going, but it's. It was so it literally came out of nowhere, but yes, this the match was very good. Jigsaw's awesome, Yehi's awesome, Williams is awesome, and Casa is good in spots. I think keeping him in tag team matches is probably the in everybody's best interest. Ethan Page wrestled Dustin. I have no earthly idea what this was supposed to be. They were trying for a brawl.
Uh-huh.
The problem with this match was Ethan Page is much better as a heel. Dustin slash Chuck Taylor is better as a babyface. And the problem is that they had the roles switched. So they were trying for a brawl, and it just fell completely flat. So this was not very good. The other match that took place was Tony Nese, as he took on Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak picked up the win. Gulak will be challenging Timothy Thatcher for the Evolve title, so this made sense.
Yeah.
Ever since Tony Nese broke away from the Premier Athlete brand, his career has just been elevated significantly. This is a guy who I felt like was on the verge of not being involved with the company anymore, and now he feels pretty entrenched thanks to this and the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. This was definitely a very, very good match. And Tony Nese had a hell of a week with the Kendrick match that aired on Wednesday and the Gulak match. So very good stuff out of him. And it's good to see because I was not a fan of the Premier Athlete brand, and it really felt like it was holding Nese back. And it's good to see him not a part of that group.
Oh, no. He's been, you know, I got a chance to go see him like at a small show, a WrestlePro show in Brooklyn, New York, a couple months ago. And it was, you know, he was excellent there. You know, you could tell right away that he was one of those guys on the card that he looked like a wrestler. You knew that he could be on TV very soon. And, you know, just, you know, less than 6 months later, he's actually, you know, all over Evolve and WWE and just looking fantastic out there. You know, I just want to see how his character develops as well, because I think he's got the goods in the ring. I thought it was interesting to see that he was working a bit heel against Kendrick during the Cruiserweight Classic. So I want to see how that might play out if he gets signed or he shows up in NXT or something like that.
I think he's definitely got to work on the character stuff. I think that's always what's held him back. Because he's got the look, he's got the ability. It's always been so much of the personality stuff, which in WWE, that's what you need more so than anything. That is what will get you over, is the ability to talk and the ability to show personality. So that was Evolve 66. If you would like to read my full thoughts, you can go to pwponderings.com and take care of that. But right now, let's talk about the rest of the Ring of Honor show. Rich, I want to talk specifically about the two other championship matches that took place. That would be the Ring of Honor television title, as Bobby Fish retained his title over Mark Briscoe, and The Addiction retained the Ring of Honor tag team titles over Tanahashi and Elgin, as well as Naito and Evil. So, Rich, what were your thoughts on these two title matches, and how did they help or hurt the pay-per-view quality?
Well, so let me start with the tag match, because I actually, this is probably the match on the card that, other than the six-man tag with Chaos and the Bullet Club, I was probably the least interested in this match. I just for a second was thinking that I didn't see how Naito or Evil or Elgin or Tanahashi were going to possibly even win the match. So right away, when I can do that and just math, you know, right away eliminate who might have a chance, and it's kind of written down for me in front of me, I'm not as interested. So I wasn't really into this match, but then I'm covering the match, you know, the event live, and first of all, I love Matt Taven on commentary. I know he might be grating to some people.
You are literally the only one who likes Matt Taven.
I probably am, because I don't know why, he makes me laugh. He's terrible. He started out saying, you know, he's like, you know, I know a lot about three ways and tag teams, and then I also know about tag team wrestling. And he's like, hey, Kevin, you see what I'm doing? You see what? And I'm a 12-year-old during the summer right now. I'm not teaching. So I guffawed and continued to do so throughout the match when I was listening to him. I love when he refers to Kamatachi as Tamagotchi and just all these other things he does during the match. So that helped out. Also, when Tanahashi walked out, I honestly thought to myself, man, that's a cool guy. Like, I don't watch a lot of New Japan, and I was just And Taven is saying, Taven's like, man, Tanahashi is the coolest guy in the world. And he would just randomly say during the match, Tanahashi is so cool. Look at that hair. And
you're really selling me on his commentary. I'm not going to lie.
It made me interested in Tanahashi more than I had ever been before. Seeing Elgin, I like seeing him now. There was a point where I felt like I didn't want to see him on the product anymore, and now I'm happy to have him back. And then Naito and Evil, but Evil is so much better character than when he's under Wanatabi the last time we saw him in Ring of Honor. So they were great. I just the addiction, the way they won, where at the end of the match Tanahashi's about to hit the high fly flow, he's jumping off the top, and just before he does that, Daniels lightly taps the back of his boot, making himself the legal man. Tanahashi hits the splash, he's pinning Evil, and Daniels runs in, grabs Evil's legs, and like flips over both of them, using Tanahashi's weight to help him keep Evil down, getting the three count and walking out the champions. Just excellent, excellent. They keep the titles, they show that they do it by hook or by crook at all times, and the commentary as well as the wrestlers in the match really got me interested. So a match that I originally was not, I didn't really care about, and honestly, if I wasn't covering it, I might have taken a break to go outside for a second. It ends up being one of the matches that I found most exciting during the night.
And the television title.
Okay, so going into the match, I really did not want Mark Briscoe to win. It's not that I dislike him personally, but it was weird, and I was sold with Bobby Fish's promo a couple weeks ago when he said, you know, he said, Mark, you are the secondary Briscoe, and if you win this title, a title that I have elevated, it is the Ring of Honor World Television title. He said, if you win it, you'll make it secondary just like you are. And I was sold. I was like, I need Bobby Fish to keep that title. And during this match, I think it's interesting because, you know, Fish almost always seems to work as a bit of a heel during matches, or just that he's a very intelligent guy who's gonna, you know, attack people's injuries and work them over. So I thought he did a great job. It was believable that he was controlling a lot of the match, you know, towards the end. Mark was using his speed, going back and forth, hitting Death Valley drivers, and almost connecting with Froggy Bows. And then there was, of course, unfortunately, I had some issues with buffering a couple of times. And
a Ring of Honor pay-per-view had trouble with the stream? I'm so surprised.
I tried to assume that it was just my room, and it wasn't everywhere. But then I did see a couple people on Twitter during under the hashtag DBD talking about how the buffering was killing them.
LOL.
Yeah. So Mark hits Froggy Bow, Fish kicks out, buffering, and then there's a Falcon Arrow, and Bobby Fish wins the match.
So Bobby Fish did the deal. That's what you're telling me.
Yep.
He did the deal. All right. So I want to talk about the other matches that took place, where the winner was pretty obvious, as Shibata defeated Silas Young, and Okada defeated Dalton Castle. And that Rainmaker, I saw the GIF of the Rainmaker on Dalton Castle. It looked nasty, and somebody had a great line where they said, "Nothing exemplifies the Ring of Honor New Japan relationship more than this." And it was the gif of Okada hitting the Rainmaker on Cut Castle.
Oh, poor Dalton.
I laughed.
Yeah, I mean, did you? By the way, did you see, I think even Ari posted up the picture of the entryway to the arena before the event went on? And there were New Japan and CMML New Japan signs lighting up the walkway with one Ring of Honor symbol in the middle.
Yes, I made a joke and I called it, this is truly Baltimore's Bushiroad territory. I mean,
oh, it was, yeah, and I think this, I don't know what to, okay, I'm getting a little worked up here. I thought that if you look at the card from top to bottom, except for the Castle Okada and Silas Shibata matches, I felt that the New Japan guys weren't overpowering the card. And I thought that these two matches, although it was clear who was going to win, and both matches were fantastic. I mean, Castle looked really good. He got to hit most of his spots. I thought that Okada sold for him really well. But at the same time, I don't know what happens from here. Does he move up in Ring of Honor's ranking system? You know, we don't really have one, but if there were a ranking system, does he move up enough?
If there was a ranking system, then Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe would never have gotten Ring of Honor title matches.
Okay, true. Wait, but Briscoe did beat he pinned ACH for that title shot.
Was that for real?
Yeah, no, he earned it.
But he won like three singles matches. No, it doesn't matter.
Oh, beforehand, you mean? Okay. All right.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Just continue.
Fair. I think that Castle, especially with the idea that, as we said earlier, that Cole might leave or that O'Reilly might leave, Castle is somebody that they should be featuring and really pushing forward. He's got just the charisma and personality that I think that they're missing on the product, and he really works well in the ring. I don't understand why he lost to Fish so quickly. I felt like that title shot was going to be more important, and it felt like it was going into it, and then Fish kept it, and I'm not really understanding how they're going to try to push him forward. So a match like this, it looked great, but you know, I want to see what happens coming from it. That's gonna really make my determination to see how. I'm hoping that the partnership is swaying into an even direction, especially now that CMLL is part of the deal. If it's not, I don't know what's gonna happen here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the issues with these three companies, and you know, I think it's great when you have partnerships, but when you say three companies have one goal, that is not possible. Ring of Honor is a very different company than CMLL, and CMLL is a very different company from New Japan. You know, New Japan is by far the number one wrestling company in Japan. It's arguably number two in the world, probably is number two. CMLL, my understanding is that it's a little bit more competitive with AAA, but that they are still regarded as the number one company in Mexico. And if I'm wrong, please correct me in the comments or on Twitter. And Ring of Honor is always going to be a second or third banana to WWE, possibly TNA. And it's the goal is impossible. If you want to have these partnerships, that's fine, but for me, based on what I've seen out of the New Japan and Ring of Honor relationship, it seems to me like New Japan is using Ring of Honor to get a foothold in the United States so that eventually they can come in and run New Japan shows in the United States without Ring of Honor, and it would not surprise me if CMLL was going to do the same. So that's how I see it. I'm a very cynical person, so I may very well be wrong, but that's kind of, until I see things break differently, Ring of Honor is always going to be the little brother in this relationship.
I mean, isn't New Japan running a show with Revolution Pro already? Am I crazy? Is that happening WrestleMania weekend?
They run, they do run with Rev Pro. They run in the UK, and I believe they are running in November this year.
That's what it is, okay.
So I don't believe that New Japan's involvement has not been announced with anything as far as WrestleMania weekend. Typically around WrestleMania weekend is when New Japan has their big Invasion Attack pay-per-view, so I'm not sure if you're going to see any New Japan involvement, unless it's like a Jushin Liger or someone like that. So I would not expect New Japan to be involved with anything involving WrestleMania weekend. Unless Invasion Attack is later on in the month. So that's how I see it. But yes, Rev Pro and New Japan, they run their shows. I believe it's like on a yearly or on a where they will have like 2 weekends where there's New Japan talent, or 1 weekend. Because earlier on this year, just a couple months ago, they had Ishii and Shibata on a show, and then obviously in November, that is the official UK version of Global Wars with RevPro and New Japan. So, but I mean, when you look at the UK, when you look at RevPro and New Japan and the way things worked out, Zack Sabre Jr. beat Katsuori Shibata in the main event of one of their shows. So, and Shibata was the NEVER champion as well for that match. So, you know, it just seems to me like Ring of Honor isn't assertive enough. And, you know, I think Shibata and Silas Young, it probably was a great match. It's probably as good as you said in your review, which you can find on pwponderings.com. But I think the problem with these matches is that there's really little doubt about who's actually going to win.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, I mean, in this case, okay, so I feel like one of Okada had to win. Okada is the champion. He should not lose. And quite honestly, I mean, whether I'm a fan of Ring of Honor or not, I don't think a company's world champion walks in and should job out to your guys in the middle of the show. With that said, would it have been terrible to have Silas Young beat Shibata? You know?
I mean, if you build it up correctly, you can do that. The problem is that Silas Young has been in a tag team for most of the year and is kind of treated as a mid-carder and kind of a joke. That's the problem. I mean, you can have anybody beat anybody on any given night, but the only way it's going to work is if it actually, number one, it makes sense, and number two, you do the build towards it. So if Silas Young comes into this Shibata match and he wins 3 or 4 matches in a row, and he's beating some of the better guys on the roster, which also is a problem because Ring of Honor's roster is really small right now.
Yeah.
But if Silas Young is going in there and he's defeating, you know, Jay Briscoe, and he's defeating Kyle O'Reilly, and he's defeating Donovan Dijak and Leo Rush, and he wins, you know, 4 or 5 matches in a row, then he goes to Shibata, beats him, then that's perfect. But you can't just have Silas Young do a tag team for most of the year and then all of a sudden gone.
You have a point there. I think he's another guy, just like Dalton Castle, that they really need to do something about. I think that Silas just plays that role of being just a really unhappy person, really disgusted by everyone around him so well, that he can make anybody more important just because he's so easy to boo. You know, even if you like him, he'll get in the fans' face who are cheering for him. Tell him to shut up. Tell him they're morons. Tell him they're not real men. Like, everything he does is for the betterment of that, of his character, and of the company. And I don't know why they don't use him more, and more effectively, I should say.
I mean, Silas Young has been doing. I don't think people realize this. Silas Young has been doing shows for Ring of Honor off and on since like 2007. Jeez. And granted, he's only been under contract for a few of those years, but I mean, this is a guy who has been an independent mainstay. He was AEW champion literally forever, and this is a guy who's proven that he can talk, he can wrestle, he could pretty much do anything that you ask of him, and it just seems like Ring of Honor has never been able to take advantage of his skill set, and that's really unfortunate. The other match that we have to talk about is the opener. I understand this was pretty spectacular, as Donovan Dijak became the number one contender for the Ring of Honor television title.
Oh, yeah. So, I thought that this is one of those matches that, when I looked at the card, I almost felt bad for the four guys in this match, because looking at everybody else on the card and all the other matches you had, this would have been the best match on any other card, I think, easily. On paper, before you even got to the show. And then, as an opener, I thought it was fantastic. Going into the match, I actually thought that Jay White, almost by process of elimination, I thought that Jay White was going to win it. I actually wanted Dijak to get it. I feel that it's time with him. If you want to make him more important, you need to have him win a match like this. Definitely on a pay-per-view, in front of a lot of eyes. you know, to legitimize what Nana was saying about how his management is going to get Dijak titles and how he's a future world champion. This had to happen at some point. And I'm glad they finally did do it, because I actually thought they were going to talk themselves out of it and give it to Jay White. Of course, part of it being because he's from New Japan, and, you know, why not? Let's actually push those guys. So I'm happy to see a homegrown Ring of Honor guy, you know, get the big win here at the pay-per-view. And I hope I can see him taking Fish out at some point, you know, cheating in some way, doing something underhanded to take that title. I think he would be an excellent champion, a television champion.
For sure. So that is Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor 14, and Evolve 66. We will be having live coverage of Evolve 67, perhaps by the time you're listening to this. If Evolve 67 is over, you can certainly go and check out the review, pwponderings.com. I will try to have an NXT review up very, very late Saturday night, perhaps early Sunday morning as well. So that is what you have to look forward to the rest of this weekend. But obviously, it is a very big weekend in the world of pro wrestling with NXT, Evolve 67. Ring of Honor has television tapings again in Las Vegas tomorrow. We will certainly post those spoilers up at pwponderings.com. On Sunday morning, we have the Super J Cup Finals plus SummerSlam that night. All 17 hours and 25 minutes of SummerSlam. Jesus Christ, that's a long night, everybody. Also on the website, you can find AEW results as they ran a big show tonight that featured John Morrison defeating Sami Callihan. They nearly sold out their Thursday, September the 1st show at the Berwyn Eagles Club in under 3 hours. It is nearly sold out. From what I understand, less than 50 tickets remain for that particular show. If you have any hopes of going to the Berwyn Eagles Club on September 1st, keep an eye on their Twitter, at AAW Pro. That will be my last AAW show, presumably, for a few months, as I will be moving to China. I'm literally getting on a plane the next day to go to Las Vegas with my family. So that is my last wrestling show, January 1st. September the 1st in Berwyn. So... buy me beer, please. That would be nice. All right. But for now, Rich, why don't you go ahead and plug what you do for the website?
Sure. So you can follow me on Twitter, Rich_Laconi. I am basically your Ring of Honor go-to guy here at PW Ponderings. You can also hear me on the Podcast of Honor along with a couple of stalwarts here when I get invited on once in a while. You can... also look for me at Running Wild Podcast. It's a weekly podcast I do with my co-host Runs. And some of my other work is over at lastwordonsports.com/wrestling.
All right. And you can find me at Jerome PWP Editor. You can also find us at PW Ponderings on the Twitters with the live results as they come in many times. We will obviously be having King of Trios and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla results coming up in 2 weeks, two of the biggest tournaments of the year. For Rich Laconi, my name is Jerome Cusan. You've been listening to PWP Extra. Thank you very much for listening.